نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقال الله تعالى: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. My dear brothers and sisters, in this blessed month of Ramadan al-Kareem, we have the opportunity to build our connection with our Rabb, to join our hearts with our Rabb, to bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts. We have the opportunity to make friends with Allah. And that is what I want to talk to you about today, which is how to make friends with Allah. The ayah which I recited for you from Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the believers as those who love Him above all else, who love Him with the greatest of intensities, the greatest intensity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, the superlative form of shadid, أَشَدْ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. A condition of the quality of the believers that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and above anything and everything else. I want you to remember this ayah as we look at the issue of making friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself the wali of the believers. Now when we talk about friends and we're using the word friend with relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must always keep in mind that when we say friend with regard to Allah or wali with regard to Allah, it's not like being friends with any human being, obviously, because the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that of our Khaliq wal Malik wal Raziq wal Hakim, and we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are His maqlooq, and we are marzooq, and we are under His hukum, and we are His milk, and we are the possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But keeping that difference in mind, when Allah said He is the wali, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector, is the closest confidant of the believer. And when the believer becomes a wali of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats him as His favorite slave. And that's what we're talking about here when we're saying, how can we become friends of Allah? Now think about this. We value friends on three bases. There are three reasons on which we value our friends. Number one is, who is your friend? If your friend is a poor man, a laborer, a waiter in a restaurant, or someone like that, he's still your friend, but this is different from another friend of yours who is a governor, a billionaire, a president, and so on. You will not tell people, and you will not mention to other people that so-and-so, this waiter in this restaurant is my friend. But you will tell the people, the king of such and such a country is my friend, the president of such and such a country is my friend. You will tell people, so-and-so billionaire is my friend. So we seem to value friends based on who they are in terms of their worldly place and position. The second quality of friends is where we say, how do I benefit from this friend? How is this friend useful for me? The second basis on which we seem to value friends is in terms of how we can benefit from them. So we value friends who are learned and wealthy and influential more than those who look up to us for help. Some of the famous saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And sometimes you turn it around and say, a friend in need is no friend of mine. And subhanAllah, these are the realities of life. And we are not saying here what is good and what is not, just what is. We like to meet our influential friends even if we never actually make use of their influence. Third reason that we make friendship is, how easy is it to access or meet this friend? The third basis on which we value friends is on the ease of access. How easy is it to meet our friend, especially when we need him? The king may be my friend, but can I call him and will he take my call? So three reasons. Who is my friend? How do I derive any benefit from this friendship? And how easy is it for me to access my friend? These are three reasons why we have people as friends. Now let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when He said, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend of the believers. Let's take the first criterion on which we value friends. Who is the friend? Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself. He said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الله لا إله إلا هو. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtake him. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them in this world and what will happen to them in the hereafter, and they will never compass and contain anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them, and he is the most high, the most great. Ayat al-Kursi, which all of us are familiar with, and all of us recite it and we have memorized it, alhamdulillah, the greatest ayah of the Quran. It is very interesting that if we read this ayah and if we read the ayah that came after that, that immediately after introducing himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the choice of accepting him or not accepting him. Allah said, La ikraha fi ddeen, qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy, faman yakfur bit-taghuti wa yu'min billahi faqad istamthaka bil-urwati al-wuthqa. لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah said, there is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Whosoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearer and all knower. The Asbabun Nuzul of this ayah are as follows, that when the Banu Nadir were expelled from Medina after they broke their covenant with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and harmed the Muslims, there was an old superstition among the Arabs of Medina, among whom infant mortality was high, that if they gave their children to the Jews to be brought up among them, then these children would not die. So there were a number of Arab children whose parents were Muslim living among the Banu Nadir. Now when the Banu Nadir were leaving Medina, the parents came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him about their children, upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. The Arabs asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should we allow the children to go with them or should we keep them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, and Allah says, there is no compulsion on anybody. If they want to go with the Banu Nadir, let them go. If they want to leave the Banu Nadir and come back and live with the Muslims, alhamdulillah, this is possible. Please understand, this ayah was revealed for and about those who are contemplating entering Islam. It is not meant to be used for Muslims to disobey Allah and then object to those who remind them of their waywardness by quoting this ayah out of context and saying that there is no compulsion in deen. There is no compulsion for anyone who is not yet a Muslim to enter Islam. But once you have entered Islam, then you are bound by the rules of Islam, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And they say, we hear and we obey, and we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb, and to you is our return. To return to our line of argument here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah 256, immediately after Ayatul Kursi so that we can choose. Do we want to choose Allah or other than Allah? Ask ourselves this question. Do we want to choose Allah or someone other than Allah? Allah then told us about the benefit of choosing Him, and He called this choice the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. SubhanAllah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq to choose Him over, above and over everything and everyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned the benefit of this friendship, our second criterion. First criterion was, who is Allah? We saw the description of that. Second criterion, what's the benefit of this friendship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself the Wali of the believers. Though we translate Wali as friend, let us be clear that friendship with Allah is not to be equated to our own friendship with anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all His creation. لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And He is not comparable to anything or anyone. Allah is our Khaliq and we are His makhluq. That difference must never be lost sight of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself the Wali of the believers, and that is His mercy and the greatest honor for the believer to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his protector and confidant and supporter. So what is the benefit of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Wali? Allah said, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ilan nur. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
Allah said, Allah is the wali of those who believe. He brings them out from darkness into light. But as for those who disbelieve, their awliya are taghut. They are the false, their awliya, their supporters and helpers and friends are false deities and false leaders, and they bring them out from light into darkness, and those are the dwellers of the fire, and they will abide therein forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the first belief above of being the wali of the believers, and then he said, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Whosoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah is all hearer, all knower. And what happens to the one who grasps this handhold? Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ilan nur. So beautiful this kalam of Allah. So clear everything is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His kalam. Allah says Allah is the wali of the believer, of those who believe. And He brings them out from darkness into light. From the darkness of misguidance into the light of guidance. From the darkness of all sorts of evil into the light of the truth of Islam. So the benefit of grasping this handhold is that you will be guided into the light of Tawheed, into the light of mercy and forgiveness of Allah, and inshaAllah into Jannah. Allah said about His awliya and their lives in this world and the next. He said, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Allah said in Surah Yunus, no doubt, verily the awliya of Allah, no fear shall can come upon them, nor shall they grieve. They are those who believed in Islam and they had taqwa. They were muttaqoon. For them are the glad tidings in the life of the present world and in the hereafter. No change can there be in the word of Allah. This is indeed supreme success. Fear is about the future and grief is about the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that His awliya will have neither fear about the future nor grief about the past. He then clarifies and He describes who His awliya are. Allah says that His awliya are those who have iman and taqwa. My brothers and sisters, please understand, this is the only valid description and criterion of the awliya of Allah, because it has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Iman and taqwa are the only considerations, not karamat,
or strange ways of behavior, or special forms of dress or turbans, or certain practices, as the ignorant of this ummah are led to believe. Many of those practices are haram, they are bid'at, and there is no Islam and there is no khair in those practices. According to the criterion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His wali is anyone who has iman and taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us all in the list of His awliya. As for darajat and stations of honor, that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give to whosoever He wills. It is not for us to say who is at what station or level. Those who make these statements with respect to specific people are speaking without knowledge, and they are exceeding their limits, and they need to make tawbah and ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for speaking about Him without knowledge. There is the famous hadith of a muhajir sahabi who passed away, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called and told about this. He went to the house of the Ansar brother of this muhajir, where this person used to live. The wife of the Ansar sahabi, she was so overcome by grief at the passing away of this good man. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, surely this is a man of Jannah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry and he said, "Are you receiving wahi or am I receiving wahi?" He said, "Do not speak about people without knowledge." He said, "Do not say that which you have no knowledge about." Subhanallah, we are not allowed to give darajat and say so and so is a great wali of Allah and so is at this great daraja. We have no knowledge of this. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, he called the speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge the mother of all sins, because it gives birth to all forms of evil. So who has the highest station with Allah? The one who has the most taqwa. What is the dalil? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." Allah said, "Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is the one who has the greatest taqwa." Finally, the last criterion of friendship. How easy is it to meet your friend, to talk to him, to tell him your problems, to seek his help? Will your powerful friend answer your call? Are there any hindrances to reach him? The real and rich and powerful of this world, you know how difficult it is even to get an interview, even to meet them or talk to them. You have to go through multiple secretaries and multiple barriers, and if you eventually make it, you might get about 5 minutes of their time. But what about the one who is the maker, the owner of all the rich and powerful, and all the owner of all their wealth and owner of all their power? The one who owns the rich and powerful and all that they think they own. What about meeting the one who said about himself, "قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتَنزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّن تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ." This is the shan of your Rabb and my Rabb. He says, "Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah, possessor of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will, and you endue with honor, and you honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. In your hand is all khair, and verily you are able to do all things." This Allah, this powerful King of all kings, Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqqu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem, the Rabb of the Arshil Kareem, this Allah permitted us into His presence compulsorily 5 times a day, and then He gave us the permission to enter His presence as many times as we want during the rest of the day. 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, as many times as we want. We stand on our musalla, we stand in the presence of Allah, we say Allahu Akbar, we are in His presence. Think of the salah, my brothers and sisters, as it actually is. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a permission to go into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any hindrance, no secretaries, no security, no nothing. We just go and we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think about the salah as we Muslims have become used to thinking of it as a burden to be discharged. What an insanity it is to consider the salah to be a burden when the salah is a gift from Allah. What insanity is it to consider the salah to be a burden, as something that we have to somehow finish and get rid of, and that is why our salah does not benefit us in any way. We have the tool, but we don't know how to use it. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean when he called the salah the coolness of his eyes, qurratul ayn? He looked forward to it, he waited for it. About Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, his servant said he used to wait from one salah to the next, and in that time he used to recite the Quran. Subhanallah, these were the people who learned Islam at the feet of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had the best of teachers and they knew the value of salah. These were the people about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ هُبَّا لِلَّهِ. These were the true awliya of Allah. These were the awliya of Allah, and he was their wali. And that is why in the 13 years of Makkan life, no major ahkam of fiqh were revealed. Alcohol was not made haram. Salah was not made fard 5 times a day. The only concentration was on building iman, on creating ta'alluq ma Allah, on bringing the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the hearts. The result was that once that was established, everything else became easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sahaba understood who Allah was, who Allah is. The akhirah became real to them. Standing before Allah to give account of their lives became real to them. So obeying Allah became easy. Today, our situation is the opposite. May Allah protect us. We are more concerned about small issues of fiqh than about connecting with Allah. So our lives are full of fear of others. Our lives are full of divisions. Our lives are full of conflicts and ikhtilaf. Our dua is not accepted and our ummah is divided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us with permission to come into His presence 5 times a day, and then to come as many times as we want, to tell Him about our problems, to thank Him for His bounties, to ask Him for His favor, to simply to seek His pleasure, the pleasure of meeting Him and talking to Him. And that is why He ordered that this salah, and indeed all salawat, begin with Al-Fatiha, the surah about which He said in Hadith Qudsi. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith. He said, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided salah, meaning surah Fatiha in this case, between myself and my slave into 2 halves, and my slave shall have what he has asked for. When the slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my slave has praised me, Hamdani Abdi. And when the slave says, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Allah says, Majjadani Abdi, my slave has extolled and glorified me. And when the slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah says, my slave has glorified me and my slave has submitted to my power and acknowledged that I am the Malik of the Day of Judgment. And when the slave says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, Allah says, this is between me and my slave, and my slave shall have what he asked for. And then what did he teach to ask for? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask for, Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is for my slave, and my slave shall have what he asked for. The hadith is in Malik, in Muwatta Imam Malik, and in Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawood, and Nasai, and Ibn Majah. What do you say of a prayer? My brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question. What do you say about a prayer when the one who is worshipped answers the worshipper real time, right then and there? We say something and we get a response. Subhanallah, rejoice. We worship a living God. We worship an Allah. We worship Allah. We worship a God who can see us, who can hear us, who knows our innermost thoughts, who knows our fears, who knows our desires. He knows our weaknesses. He supports us. He protects us. He shelters us from all sorts of harm. And He has made the Jannah for us. What do you say about this worship when we go into His presence? And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described al-ihsan in the way of salah. Well, he said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. In the famous hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked him, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. Worship Allah as if you can see Him, and if you cannot see Him, then know that He sees you. So think about this. This is what Salah is. This is how easy is it, how easy it is to come into the presence of the greatest, of the great, of the true owner of the world and all it contains, and the true owner of the universe, all that of it that we know, and all that of it which we don't know. So finally, think about this, the benefit of making friend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, again another hadith Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whosoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, whosoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I shall be at war with him. My slave does not draw near to me with anything more loved by me than the religious duties that I have enjoined upon him. And my slave continues to draw near to me by his supererogatory duties, by his nawafil, until I become the ear, the hearing by which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes and holds, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant refuge to him. I do not hesitate about anything as much as I hesitate about taking the soul of my faithful slave. He does not like death. He hates death, and I hate hurting him. Hadith in Bukhari. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a slave of his, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I love so and so, and therefore you love him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so Jibreel loves him, and then Jibreel calls out in the heavens and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, and therefore you love him, and the inhabitants of heaven love him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then acceptance of this person is established on the earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates a slave of his, he calls Jibreel and says, I hate this person. And Jibreel calls out to the inhabitants of the heavens and they says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates so and so, and therefore you hate him. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so they hate him, and hatred is established for him on earth. Again, a hadith in Muslim, Bukhari, Malik and At-Tirmidhi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those he loves, and to protect us from being included among those that he hates. My brothers and sisters, we have to make up our minds whether we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us or not. And because if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us, then we have to work to make that happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For the human being, for the insan, there is only that which he works for. There is nothing more than what which he works for. And therefore, simply saying I love Allah is not sufficient. We have to prove that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be included among his awliya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among his awliya, to include us among those who will be given the shade of his arsh, the shade of his throne, on the day when there will be no shade except his. Allahumma adillani tahta arshuk, yawma la dilla illa zilluk, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You were just listening to two khutbahs. The first one was a khutbah titled Two Tomorrows, and the second one was a khutbah titled Make Friend with Allah. Both of these khutbah were by Sheikh Mirza Yavar Beg from Hyderabad. For if you are interested in listening to more of these khutbahs and to other reminders, then go to his website, which is www.yavarbeg.org. That is www.yawarbaig.org. Sheikh Yavar Beg is the chairman of the Standard Bearers Trust, which is the trust which is in the process of building the Standard Bearers Academy. And you can get information about all of that when you go to the site www.yawarbeg.com. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.